Hi, my name's Kim. I'm from Oak Harbor, Washington, and I love listening to the Mickey Miles podcast while I do my runs.
This is the Mickey Miles podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles podcast is not affiliated with, authorized or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 54 of the Mickey Miles podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show today is Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, welcome, welcome.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. I'm kind of excited. I'm making progress on my recovery and comeback, and going to emerge like the phoenix.
Oh, that's good. Well, here in New Hampshire, it's getting warmer, and I am so looking forward to going outside. It's just today hit my minimum temperature for running outside comfortably, which was about 45, so I'm excited. Before we go on, we have a shout-out, and the shout-out is to one of our listeners named Kristen Cola, and she said some really nice things about us on Twitter, so I just wanted to give her a shout-out. So thank you, Kristen.
Does she have a daughter named Coca?
Oh, no. Very funny. Bada bing.
Bada bing, bada bing. Well, we have a very special guest tonight, today on the show, whenever you're listening to this podcast. She is an award-winning journalist, and her work has appeared in such publications as Newsweek, the Philadelphia Inquirer, San Francisco Chronicle, Runner's World, Active.com, and many others. She has appeared on America's Morning Radio, Good Morning San Diego, and even on a show that we all may know. It's called The Marathon Show with Joe Terracani. She's also covered the 2010 Winter Olympics in Vancouver for the Washington Times. She has won a Fulbright scholarship for American journalists and reporting grants from the Scripps Howard, Carnegie, and Knight Foundations, and holds degrees from Amherst College in Massachusetts and Columbia University's Graduate School of Journalism. Of course, she's a runner and is the editor for Running Tracks and has completed four marathons, with her last one being the 2013 Walt Disney World Marathon this past January. She trains with the New York Harriers and is a member of the New York Roadrunners. So, have you figured out who our guest is yet? Well, here are some more clues. She's the author of her own personal blog, Run, Carla, Run, and the host of On the Run, which is a weekly running lifestyle show from New York Roadrunners. She has a special affinity for Run Disney events, and maybe, just maybe, she'll tell us about one special Run Disney event that she experienced recently. Her name is Carla Brunig, and we are very pleased to welcome her to the Mickey Miles podcast. Welcome, Carla, and thank you for making time to chat with Michelle and myself.
Thanks so much. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, with all those accomplishments, she must be about 75 years old.
And that's our show, folks.
Oh, my goodness. Wowee. Well, Carla, I'm going to start off by asking you if you could share what your running background is, maybe how you got started, and kind of like, what do you like about running? Why is it interesting to you?
Yeah, so I came late in life to running. I started running in 2005. I actually had more than a decade, I had a slow-growing bone tumor in my tibia.
Oh my
and it
gosh.
was right below my knee, so it interfered with the function of my knee joint. So running was, like, I hated running, you know, all growing up and as a teenager and, you know, into college. It was super painful for me, but it was this weird bone tumor that, you know, I went to like 7 different doctors. No one wanted to touch it. Finally, I found someone actually in Boston who was willing to tackle it. And they removed most of the tumor, and it was a full year of recovery. And then my doctor was like, you should start running. And I was like, what? I hate running. Running hurts. And he's like, it's not going to hurt anymore. And, you know, after all those years of not running and having this tumor, it was in my right leg. You know, my right leg had atrophied really badly. I walked with a visible limp.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was kind of crazy.
So did your doctor think you should run because it could strengthen your leg?
Exactly. Yeah. He thought it was a sort of a twofold solution. One, I had to build back up my bone mass because I had a bone tumor made of bone. So they had to actually extract bone from bone. And he wanted to, you know, as you know, running is a great bone building activity. So he wanted me to do it to help build back up the bone mass in my leg and then also build back up my atrophied quad muscles. I looked like, you know, my left leg looked like the leg of, you know, a fit athlete, and my right leg looked like an anorexic model leg. They were two completely different sizes.
So what other exercises were you doing then?
So he had, you know, obviously I was doing strength training, was mainly strength training, and then running were the two things that I was assigned to do. And I'm one of those people, if my doctor tells me to do it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So I started running, and it was really hard. I mean, it was like, you know, I was starting from total scratch. And then, you know, I don't remember at what point, but somewhere along the way, I got hooked on it and I've been a runner ever since.
Mike?
So Carla, when you started running, how soon after you started running did you, start your blog, Run Carla Run?
So I'm trying to think. I started Run Carla Run, it was the fall of 2009. It was it really started in, like, you know, January 2010, and I started running in 2005. So it was about 5 years later.
And what sort of things do you have on the blog?
So, Run Carla Run is, I try to keep it mixed up. You know, I recognize that a lot of running blogs are about, you know, people's own training, and I do some of that. But since I'm a journalist by trade, I try to do as much, you know, I call it service journalism as I can. So I try to let people know about upcoming events or discounts or cool products that I come along, fun races. So I write about, you know, a mix of that kind of stuff, and then also, you know, a little bit about my own personal training. But I would say there's less about that and more about, you know, all of the great races that I hear about. And since I am a journalist, you know, I get all the PR emails and a lot of information about all that stuff. So I try to share that with my readers.
Yeah, I've noticed, I've been reading the blog for a while now, and I've noticed a lot of little Disney announcements on there too, including one we'll talk about soon. So, I know you're on this, I guess you'd call it a video cast on the run, and it's really, really cool. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how that got started and what are the goals of that.
Sure. So On the Run is truly the baby of New York Roadrunners. And they're, you know, the brains and the brawn behind the whole thing. And they brought me in from the start as a host of the show. And their goal was really to fill the gap in, you know, running broadcast coverage. You know, you get running on TV during the Olympics, and you get running on TV, you know, maybe during the New York City Marathon. And if you're, you know, locally in Chicago, if you're, you know, watching the Chicago Marathon. But other than that, you know, us runners, there's not really a lot for us to watch. So their idea was to sort of fill that gap and bring running into the living rooms of people all over the U.S. And, you know, a web show is a great way to do that. And I think, you know, the show accomplishes that to a great extent. And what I think is cool about it is that, you know, they do focus on the races and on the pros a bit, but there's also, you know, every episode we have stories about real runners and charity runners and, you know, hopefully something that's going to inspire somebody out there.
Yeah, I was watching your most recent episode about the New York City Half Marathon, and you were talking with a runner. I don't remember her last name, but her first name was Michelle, and
yeah.
That was really, really interesting. I love that. That was great.
She's a great runner who's a veteran and started really running while she was in the Army and did three tours of duty in Iraq. She's from Staten Island, came home, you know, her mother's house was destroyed, her community was destroyed, and, you know, she raised a ton of money for them. And it's exciting for me to meet people like that. You know, they're inspiring to me as well. I'm like, gosh, I could do so much more than I do, you know. And that's one of the things I love about runners is they're such a giving group of people.
And so how often does On the Run come out?
So we had our initial season was in the fall, we did 8 episodes in the fall, and then we just did 3 episodes around the NYC half. And a little birdie tells me we might be having another spring season coming up soon with some more episodes. It's sort of, this is a brand new thing from New York Roadrunner, so it's still up in the air a bit right now. But, you know, people can check out all the past episodes at ontherun.nyrr.org. And a lot of those episodes are, they're really evergreen. You know, they're not about a specific race. They're just about runners and running, so you could watch them anytime.
And is it being received well by runners and fans?
It is. You know, all of the feedback that I've gotten has been really positive, and it's been largely people saying, oh my gosh, there's running. I can watch running and I can watch races. And people have really especially liked some of the race recap episodes that we've done of races like the NYC Half and the Fifth Avenue Mile that aren't televised, but, you know, have a lot of pros in them. And so people, you know, they still want to see Bernard Lagat racing and, you know, Centrowitz racing and all of those pros. So it's been a great response so far.
It's wonderful. I highly recommend it.
I think that the sport of running may actually be right at the top of the list of the sports that have been just receiving tremendous interest and has been growing at a tremendous rate. And with that came some, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, Run Disney. And so, Carla, we were wondering, can you give us a little background on when you started getting interested in Run Disney events?
Sure. Run Disney, from sort of the get-go, when I started running, had been on my radar because I'm a Disney girl. I was raised a Disney girl. My dad's from Florida. So every year we would take that family road trip down to Florida and, you know, stop at Disney World. And, you know, my mother, when she was a little girl, was Tinkerbell for Halloween 3 years in a row. So naturally, when she had a bunch of little girls, you know, like Peter Pan and Cinderella and Snow White were the first three books that I ever owned.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you know, I was already primed for it. And then, so once I started my blog in 2010, Disney reached out to me and invited me to come down for a race. And I was finally able to make it happen for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon in 2011. So that was my first Run Disney race.
That's cool. And I heard that you ran past this past January the marathon. It was your first Disney marathon?
It was.
And what were your impressions of it?
Well, first of all, it was hot.
It was hot, yep.
This isn't hot, but it was still so much fun. It was my sixth marathon, and it was the first one that I had ever done not going for a PR. Every other one, you know, I had done like one a year, so I really wanted to race it. And the Disney marathon was the first time that I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go out and run and have fun and wear a costume and stop and take a photo with every single character. And that's what I did. And it was a blast. I had a great time. It was definitely the most fun marathon I've ever done, even though it was 80 degrees out.
Would you do it again?
Oh, for sure. I would definitely do it again. Absolutely.
You know, Kyle, you used a word that a lot of people use when they talk about Run Disney events: fun, fun, fun. And over the years, there has been an unofficial combination of races that now has become official. And it's called the Dopey Challenge. And Michelle and I were wondering if you'd like to give us your opinion on the Dopey Challenge and maybe even, you know, let us know if you ever thought about doing it.
So I've heard about the Dopey Challenge, you know, and people doing the three races. So when I read that Disney was making it official and adding a fourth race, I was like, oh, what? That's crazy. I thought Goofy was crazy. Holy cow, this is crazy. But in some weird way, it almost makes me want to do it even more.
I don't think you're alone in that.
I know, because I had been thinking about doing the Goofy, you know, this past January, and I was like, oh, you know, I don't think I'm ready for that. So I did just the marathon, and with just, you know, in air quotes. So whenever I say that, people are like, just a marathon? That's ridiculous. But the Dopey, I don't know. It sounds really tempting to me. That and Dopey's always been my favorite dwarf, so that makes it even more appealing. But wow, I mean, it's really, it's an ultra marathon spread over the course of 4 days.
I know, just the getting up those four mornings alone, I think.
I know. That the funny thing, though, is every time I do a Disney race, I tend to get up, you know, at 5 or 6 a.m., you know, at the latest every day that I'm at Disney, just to sort of prime myself for that, you know, that 3 a.m. wake up come race day. So, you know, that part might not be so bad. But
now, what about training with your crazy schedule? I mean, I assume your schedule is crazy. Training for the dopey. Do you think that'll be tricky?
I'm like trying to think about it. Like, you know, it's like over a little over 48 miles. I mean, at the peak of marathon training, you know, I'm easily doing, you know, 45, 50 miles a week. So I'm kind of like, if I treat it just like, you know, like a week of marathon training, but all compacted into 4 days instead of spread out over six. When I think about it that way, it doesn't sound so crazy.
Oh, we can rationalize anything. Exactly. Well, I can tell that you really have, you know, the run, you've drunk the Run Disney Kool-Aid like we have, obviously.
There's no doubt about it. It is coursing through my veins.
So what do you think makes Run Disney events special or different from other events that you do?
You know, I think the two things that really set them apart is sort of just, you know, the Disney magic, for one thing, that seems to exist there and almost nowhere else in the world. And I've seen a lot of the world, just that Disney magic makes it really fun. But from a true runner's perspective, what I think makes their events really different is they're so welcoming to beginners. You know, I came to this sport in 2005 as a total beginner. I was not fast. I was in the back of the pack. You know, I think my first race, I finished at like an 11:30 pace. You know, it was, I was really starting from scratch. And racing is really intimidating when you're starting out and when you're a back of the packer and when you're afraid that you might really be the last person across the finish line. And I think what Disney does so well is welcoming beginners and welcoming people who are just starting to race and, you know, being just a really open, welcoming place, and that they don't put an emphasis on the pros. There is no prize money for the pros. Like, it's really about all of the fans out there. And that's what I think makes those events so special.
Now, do you see, like, when you look at a Disney runner, is there anything that you notice about Disney runners versus other runners?
I would have to say their spirit of fun, really. I mean, runners as a collective, I think, are really nice, fun people as a whole. But Disney runners just take it to a whole new level. You know, it's just like out there in the costumes. And even when I go to other big races, you know, you meet so many people on Twitter. And every now and then, you know, I bump into somebody who reads my blog or reads my column and they say hi. But like at a Disney race, like, people are out there to meet the people that they met on Twitter and putting together meetups and, you know, saying hi to each other on the course. It's just, it's like a big family. And I get that real, like, I get the sense of the Disney community at Disney races more than, you know, any other non-Disney race that I do. It's not like there's, I don't know, you know, I've never done a rock and roll race, but I'm not sure that there's like a community of rock and roll runners, but there's that community of Disney runners, you know, that there's so many people I've gotten to know over Twitter that, like, now I see them at Disney races and I'm like, hey, how you doing? You know, we recognize each other, and I think that's great.
So, you know, Collar, at the beginning of this podcast, we sort of teased our audience regarding a special event that we felt that you had a special place in your heart for. And it's a special Run Disney event, and I happen to know what it is, but I want you to tell our audience which Run Disney event will always have a special place in your heart. So could you please tell the story?
Of course. So for sure, it has to be the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. For two reasons. First, and the lesser reason, is that it was my first Disney race, but also it was my boyfriend's first trip to Walt Disney World ever. He's Canadian, but he was raised by Polish immigrants all over the world. So, you know, they weren't really aware of Disney and they didn't raise him Disney. So I came along and he was like, Disney, what? We have, like, our dog's name is Cinderella, and, you know, this whole new thing for him. So I, you know, he's a runner too. And I dragged him down to the race, and I was really excited to share this, you know, this thing with him that had been such a part of my life and such a part of my childhood and, you know, my relationship with my father. And my father passed away years ago, and, you know, my husband's father passed away. So I was, you know, sharing this with him was sort of like having him get to know my dad a little bit. So it was a really special trip and I was really excited about it. And then he went and topped it and he proposed at the end of the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. And it was
That's so cool.
I know. It made the race special and the weekend special and being a Disney special. And it was actually really funny because, you know, before the race, my mom and my sister both called me and were like, so excited for the race and good luck and call us afterwards. And I was like, you guys, you know, I'm going to be done at like midnight. And like, call us anyway. And I was like, that's so weird. Like, I mean, they're always very supportive of my running, but they do not call me before every race, you know, to wish me luck. And I was just kind of like, I chalked it up to the fact that it was my first Disney race and the first time that Phil had ever been to Disney and they were just excited for him. And then, of course, after he proposed, I was like, duh.
You were the only one who didn't know.
I was the only one who didn't know. I had no idea. And he was originally going to do it at the finish line and then chickened out. So it ended up being, we went into the after party. And I love the Wine and Dine after party. It's so much fun. And we got some food. We had some food from the little Greek kiosk and the little Portugal kiosk. And we found a seat in the Fez room in Morocco when we were the only people in there. And we're sitting there. I was drinking some port wine from Portugal. And, you know, he turned to me and said, can I ask you a personal question? And I was like, what? And I broke out laughing. And then I saw this, like, super serious look on his face. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And then he got down on one knee and proposed, and he said, will you be my princess forever and ever?
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
I love Phil now, and I don't even know him. That is a win.
I think I love Phil, too.
We all love Phil. Oh, your dad would have loved that, too. Yeah. I don't know your dad, but I'm sure.
For sure. So now every time we go to Disney, you know, we go to Morocco and we have, like, have a little moment in the Fez room. And I love that now it's a place that's special to both of us.
Oh, that's cool.
And a race that will always be special to both of us, yeah.
So will there be a Disney wedding while you're running?
No, there won't be. We got married last August.
Oh, you got married.
Yeah, we got married.
Congratulations.
No.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a story that I never get tired of listening to. And it just, you know, we now, Michelle, have three people, who we know who were engaged after a Disney race.
Right,
so,
right. I think it's becoming very popular, but I think Phil was the first.
Yes, Phil was the first.
I read somewhere that something like 2,000 or 3,000 couples get engaged at Walt Disney World every year. But I wonder how many get engaged specifically at Disney races.
It seems like it's growing because I know somebody at Disney. I saw a video of people at Disneyland, and we have two friends, Bonnie and Andy, who did the Goofy and got engaged. It's amazing that he could get up after he got down on one knee. But
I know, right?
Yeah, but that's cool. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's pretty cool.
The thing that I find craziest about all of it was he didn't run with the ring. He checked it in his race bag.
Wow.
I know.
Wow, that's funny.
Well, we want to make sure that our listeners know where to go to read your blog. It's the blog is Run Carla Run Notes from a Running Nerd, and you can go to this blog at www.runcarlarun. It's all one word, runcarlarun.com. And if you go down towards the bottom of the page, you'll be able to click and see some of Carla's On the Run video casts, and I'm sure you'll enjoy them. I'm trying to catch up to all of them, and I just love everyone, Carla, because there's always something that I'm learning, and I want to thank you for taking the time to put them together. And Michelle and I want to thank you for the time that you have given to come and chat with us, and it's been fun.
Of course. Thank you. It's been fun.
Thank you so much. And if you're like me, you'll subscribe to the blog so you always get it in your inbox when a new one comes out.
I call her a tech girl. She's gadget girl. She's always ahead of me. So, Carla, thank you again. And for Michelle Scribner-McLean and for Carla Brunig, this is Mike Scopa. We'll see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road. We'll be right back.